A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You love Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
KSL Unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Tom Hackett filling in today for Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. They'll be back soon. At some point, they'll be back. I'm not sure. Unless we do a really good job.
I think Keery's in Spain. And then an irrational decision was made by Mr. Mitchell overnight, decided to jump on a jet plane to Florida.
That's not irrational. It's cold here.
It
is
warm
there.
He does want the beach,
he says. Seems extraordinarily rational.
The big rig out and get some sun on it.
You can find us on Twitter. Follow Tom at Tom Can't Hack It. You can find me at Ben's Hoops. You can read us at KSLSports.com. You can also find our stories tweeted out at KSL Sports. Make sure you go and give them a follow. All right, Tom, I cover the Jazz.
Yes, you do.
That's kind of my thing. And it's been a little hard. Not that, you know, we're lucky to be covering sports, but Jazz haven't been playing very well lately. In fact, they'd lost 6 of 8. And their two wins had come over the Memphis Grizzlies, who are the fifth worst team in the NBA. I mean, they're young and they play hard, and they've got a couple of guys who Jazz fans are familiar with, Jay Crowder and Grayson Allen, who come out and play. And certainly Jay Crowder plays hard every night. And effort in the NBA will get you 25 wins a season. If you're the Knicks and you quit and you just don't care and nobody cares that you're playing, you can drop, you know, 70 games a year and really be historically awful. And maybe they are this season, but The Memphis Grizzlies aren't, but the Jazz still need to be winning games over teams other than the Memphis Grizzlies, certainly if they want to have the success that they hope to. And while last night's win over the Minnesota Timberwolves doesn't scream great win because it was the sixth straight loss for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are really falling apart after a hot start, I thought it was a good win for the Jazz and a way for them to start to right the ship a little bit, which has been, you know, off course for a couple of weeks now.
It's been frustrating. And fortunately, I don't have to kind of witness it week in and week out. I can watch those games from the comfort of my couch, and when enough's enough, I can actually turn it off. But it's mind-boggling to think that just a couple months ago, prior to the season starting, you know, most people I'm sure that listen to the show have access to social media. You saw the power rankings of title. I mean, the Jazz were right up there.
Those were top five basically everywhere.
And the Mike Conley thing just hasn't quite worked out yet, although I'm not giving up hope. Have you given up hope on Mike yet?
No, not at all. And actually, I think it's kind of a funny thing what's going on now, and I think it's maybe beneficial because Mike Conley just missed his fourth straight game with that hamstring injury. He missed the second half of the Philadelphia 76ers game, and obviously a few positives have come out of it, definitely some negatives. The Jazz just haven't won many games since he went out, but they weren't winning a ton of games with him in the lineup. But the obvious positive is your fellow countryman, Joe Ingles, jumps into the starting lineup, and Joe's had by far the worst start to any season of his career in his sixth year this year. He's just shooting the ball poorly. He wasn't taking enough shots. He was a little discombobulated with his teammates because he was playing with the bench, which is basically all brand-new players. Emmanuel Mudiay, Jeff Green, Ed Davis, George Niang he played with a little bit last year, but George Niang wasn't playing when Mike Conley was healthy, so it really was a new situation for Joe to find himself in, and he wasn't playing well. And you saw it in the second half of that game against the 76ers. As soon as he was playing with Rudy Gobert and playing next to Donovan Mitchell or with Royce O'Neal, Joe came back and just looked instantly more comfortable. And that's a huge advantage because I think the Jazz hope now, Tom, is that Joe carries that back to the bench, because whether we end up seeing Mike Conley come back in the next couple of games, the Jazz only play two games over the next 7 days, and it's against the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night, and then they play Orlando at home again, I want to say on Monday. the Jazz just have this great stretch of rest that they have not had. They basically played or traveled every single day this season, and there were 24, 25 games into the year now. It's been brutal for the Jazz. So this stretch is going to be good, and maybe you just sit Mike Conley and say, you know what, Mike, let's get that hamstring back to 100%. We don't want to risk you re-triggering it because hamstrings are so finicky as they are. And B, it's allowed Joe Ingles to get going. And for the Jazz to get to a point where they're really competing to win playoff series, not even win a championship or get to the finals, to win a playoff series, they need that extra player to step in and be great. And Joe Ingles has to be great, which is why they've invested as much money in him as they have. So I think Joe, in the starting lineup, if you can further ingrain this rhythm that he's finding, I think that's going to be successful, and then you hope it carries with him back to the bench.
But by no means am I any NBA expert or whatnot. I do appreciate the NBA, and as of last year, I've actually started to really enjoy watching the NBA. It's taken me some time. But my fear with Joe coming off the bench and my concern as to whether or not that project will work moving forward when he does end up going back to the bench is Joe, for at least as long as I've been watching and as Jazz fans have continued to watch, he's not an immediate impact player, in my opinion. He's not somebody that can come off the bench like Lou Williams and just start making it rain. I think it takes him time to figure out the speed and tempo of any given game and work his way into it. But coming off the bench, Ben, you don't have that luxury. I mean, you've got, you know, small allocated minutes throughout the course of any given game. If you're hot, you'll play longer. But for Joe, I think part of the problem is he takes a while to get going occasionally, and he's often that guy that you look at the box score on any given night, you'll see 4 assists, 12 points, handful of rebounds. And it's like, you know, Joe was productive,
yep.
Plus minus, he's plus 8 or something, but he kind of goes under the radar.
He's a secondary option, and I don't mean he's a secondary option because the Jazz have a primary scorer in Donovan Mitchell. He's a secondary option in every play he runs. So he'll, even when he's initiating the pick and roll, the first look is, can we get Rudy Gobert a dunk? And last year it was, can we get Derek Favors a dunk? And then off of that, Joe Ingles makes the second read. And that's, do I have a layup? Do I step out because they've gone under on the pick and I shoot a three, or I pick and pop? You know, and I basically do the pop even though somebody else is setting the screen for me. Do I bounce out and not attack the rim? So he's inherently a second option even in that play. And that's really his best play. Or as a spot-up shooter. And Tom, as we know, and you watched the game last night, the third quarter, the Jazz are moving the ball around. Secondary option is, hey, the initial player, Donovan Mitchell, whoever, gets the ball, gets into the paint, the defense is forced to rotate, and now all of a sudden there's somebody open on the three-point line. So that's Bojan Bogdanovic, and he kicks it to Royce in the corner, and Royce kicks it out to Joe Ingles. Okay, so now Joe is honestly the fourth option the Jazz had in this move, and it's the best shot they were going to get, but it took a prerequisite of three other actions before Joe got his option. So he is secondary in that sense. That's exactly what you're saying. Whereas the Lou Williams of the world come in, and they're a microwave, and they say, hey, just get me going, get me the ball, I'm going to score. Joe's not that player. So when he's playing with Emmanuel Mudiay and he's playing with Jeff Green and he's playing with Ed Davis, he's struggled because the Jazz have asked him to do a little bit more of that creation, that initiation, and that's not who he is. And I wonder if you can find a way to get that with him on the bench, and if not, if you have to move him to the starting lineup. And that creates a difficult question of, what do you do with Royce O'Neal, or what do you do with Mike Conley, or is there a chance you could bring Bojan Bogdanovic off the bench, who is more of that go-to, I will start it, I will get it going, As long as I can get the ball. And that's tough because he's getting so much money this year. Bojan Bogdanovic might not be up for that type of role.
This might be a really silly question, and it sounds like we're running out of time, so you might not have much time to answer it. But why is it so hard to flick the ball from sideline to sideline? I mean, seriously, like, you watched the Golden State Warriors from a couple years ago. It's not rocket science, right? Or at least they didn't make it seem to be. You attack the paint. If the defense collapses, you kick the ball outside. You flick it around until you get an open shot. And if the layup's there, you take the layup. You don't even need to kick it outside.
Yeah. If you have the greatest three-point shooters in the history of the game, it's really easy. And that's what the Golden State Warriors had. And then you need somebody who's good enough off the dribble to be a threat. So watch Dante Exum next time he plays, and he's not playing right now. Dante Exum can beat any player in the NBA off the dribble, but when he gets to the paint, he can't finish. So no one on the defense has to leave their man on the perimeter to go and make sure they stop him at the bench. All right, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Jordan Love. Actually, a couple of mock drafts I've got pulled up still have him getting drafted extremely high, Tom. We'll talk about that, what it means for Utah State. This is KSL Unrivaled, Ben Anderson, Tom Hackett, powered by KSL Sports.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.